fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This week I've been thinking a great deal about why Jesus came. I think it's easy to forget. I'm surprised. I have conversations with people, and sometimes the answers I get even from Catholics is a little bit like Jesus came to kind of straighten things up a little bit. He kind of came to encourage us. He came to make sure we understood what the law was. We miss the deep, more fundamental realities of why Jesus came. And kind of asking the question this week off and on, and Tuesday I was talking about what St. Paul told us, that why did Jesus come? Jesus came, St. Peter, St. Paul, all the saints, all the apostles and saints tell us the same thing. He came really to forgive us, to make repentance possible, that is, to be brought into right relationship with God. He came to seek and save the lost, and those who are lost, the entire human race is lost literally in a condition of slavery to sin. And we can't get out of it. Jesus came as one of us to make it possible for us to live in the freedom, Scripture will say, of the sons and daughters of God, free from what? Free from the enslavement of sin, the powers of sin and death, and the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus came to break all those powers at work over each and every life. Another reason Jesus came that I love to think about, it's important for all of us to be able to think about it because it ought to just kind of fill our hearts and give us a sense of identity and security. Jesus came to give us power to become children of God. The contrast Scripture makes is between slavery and sonship. We were once slaves, alienated from God, and literally dominated by forces that were harmful to us, leading us to a place of unfulfillment. We were alienated from God, so living in a state of alienation, and death, and really a race of people that were death-directed, with no hope in the world. And we couldn't become what we were made to be. We couldn't reach our own fulfillment. So, as St. Peter would say, we were subject to futility, the futility of a darkened mind, the futility of the power of the flesh. That's at work in us. Jesus came to break all of that and bring us out of that condition of slavery into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. You were made, friend, to be free. Everybody, we talk freedom a lot in this world. Everybody wants to be free. You can have political freedom. You can have all kinds of freedoms. But fundamentally, what we most want is interior freedom, absolute freedom, which Christ himself alone can give us. And he does that by giving us a share in what belongs to him, his own life. He gives us power to become something entirely new, to become a son or a daughter of God. There's a beautiful passage in Galatians chapter 4 and in Romans 8 as well that talk about this. St. Paul said, this is chapter 4, verse 1 of Galatians. He's talking about that we're heirs. We share, because we're children of God, we become heirs of Christ's kingdom. We get to share in it because he's identified with us in such a way, and he's literally made it possible for us to become sons and daughters of God, so we receive what sons and daughters receive. The slaves are not heirs, but sons and daughters are heirs, heirs to the kingdom of God. He said this, "So with us, when we were children, we were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe," basically saying the world, the flesh, the devil, all of these powers that are at work in this fallen world. He says we were in a condition of slavery, dominated by those conditions. Verse 4, he said, "But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to buy them out of the condition of slavery under the law." Why would he say that? Because the law, which is meant for our good, which reveals God's plan and purpose for us, the law meant for good ends up condemning us because the law is like a light that shines in our hearts, shines on our lives. And what it reveals is that we don't live the law. The heart of the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that? Nobody does that on their own resources. That's the fallen condition of the human heart and mind. So we were condemned by the law, therefore, because the law just showed forth the truth that we don't actually live the law. And those who don't live the law, according to Scripture, are under a curse. And that curse is death. Jesus came to break that power, to break that curse. He's the one taking on human flesh. He's the one who walked the earth and did give to the Father everything that belonged to him. He did obey the law to its absolute fullest. He took it as far as it could possibly go. He laid down his life in obedience to the Father. He loved everyone he ever met and ever touched. He laid down his life for another. He willed the good of all of God's creation, and he fought for it. So he came to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, adoption as daughters, daughters of God, children of God. That's Jesus' purpose. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. You see, this is where you get to the heart of Christianity. The meaning of death, Jesus' life, passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus was the Messiah, the one whom the Holy Spirit dwelled in complete fullness. And the plan of God is to transfer what's in Jesus and to give it to us. It's a share in the promise given to Abraham and the patriarchs and the prophets of the Old Testament. The promise that the Messiah would come, that God would give us his own Spirit and put it within us. That reality was made possible by Jesus becoming one of us and then dying in obedience to the Father, being raised to his right hand. And from that position of absolute power and authority, he pours forth his Holy Spirit. The Father's desire is there. The promise of the Father is what Jesus referred to it as. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is where it's all going. The entire human race, every man, every woman, every child, was made by God, was made for God. That is the source of our dignity. That is the goal, our ultimate destiny, is to share in that reality of being sons and daughters of God. The whole work of salvation is Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together coming to us in mission and breaking the hold of the slavery of the kingdom of darkness that's over every human mind and heart, and to give us a new heart, to replace, Scripture says, a stone that insists on my own way. I mean, you can see it everywhere today in our culture. Just the assertion of raw willpower, raw will. I am my own master. I create my own truth. I determine what's good for me. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the beginning and the end of my own life, ultimately. I determine what values are valuable. It's a heart alienated from God and cut loose from and disconnected from our fundamental source of life, God the Father, our identity, sons and daughters of God. We will never be peaceful. We'll never be secure. We'll never be living in the joy that the Father wants to give us until we begin to see ourselves as who we really are, sons and daughters of God. That comes from being born again by water in the Holy Spirit, through baptism in the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of Jesus Christ, of being united to him. As I mentioned yesterday, entering into that baptism, there's a war that goes on in the waters of baptism. We are united to the cross of Jesus Christ, and that old man that's in us is put to death. A part of us that says no to God, yes to me above all things. I'll name what's valuable in this world. I mean, it's just so prevalent in the culture, friends. And Jesus came to break that power, to say, no, I've come to open your eyes. You have purpose, identity of infinite grace and value because my Father made you. And I've come to restore you to the fullness of what the Father has made you for. This gift, this mystery that's been hidden for ages, but now revealed. That God would send his Son into the world to save us and reveal his glory and possible for us to share in his glory. So Paul tells us, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you hear the word Father, what do you think? For many people, probably the immediate emotional response isn't one of security, warmth, love, tenderness, joy. Because some of us have been subject to, we're listening, imperfect fathers. Some have been without fathers. So you may feel empty, alienation. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I don't know what the love of a father looks and feels like. I don't know what kindness in a father or gentleness in a father or goodness or patience or peace, what it looks like, what it feels like. Jesus wants to help each one of us come to know what he knows about God the Father. That the Father is patient and kind, loving, gentle, merciful. All those things come from the Father. God is love. And if we say yes to Jesus, he'll take us by the hand, and step by step, he'll bring us closer to the Father and heal our wounded hearts, to touch our minds and our imaginations, and really even our subconscious, you know, the traumas that many people carry in life that came as a result of some of the bad relationship with a father in one way or another. I mean, done a lot of work in the local jail over the years. Almost every young man who's there, not everyone, but a large majority are there. Something's really broken and wrong in their relationship with their father. Addiction, alcoholism, physical abuse, all kinds of things. Jesus Christ can heal that. That's what he's come to do. To heal the fear, the terror that sometimes fills the human heart and mind. When we think of God, Jesus wants us to be able to speak to God as he speaks to God. As a son to a loving father, as a daughter to a loving father. He wants to bring the healing of the Spirit to bear on each one of us. And friends, if you're listening and that's how you see yourself, that kind of alienation, and you carry a lot of pain, I want you to know you're not the only one. There's just multitudes of people in this fallen world who had the same sort of instinctive feel. But I know from my own experience, but the experience I've seen in thousands of people all around the world over the last 35 years, the Holy Spirit has come in power to give you a new heart, to heal you, so you can receive love. You can receive God's love and God's mercy and God's faithfulness to give you a new identity. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.